It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to the Labatt Studio. It's quarter number two, and Tucker State is brought to you by GoPSURV.com. Located only minutes from Beaver Stadium, the convenience and value of renting an RV for a Penn State home game is something every Nittany Lions fan should consider. Everybody who rents an RV from GoPSURV.com has a chance to win breakfast with Blair Thomas. That's yet another reason to make GoPSURV.com your choice for home games. For more information, visit their website, GoPSURV.com, or call Mark at 1-800-519-8467. GoPSURV.com, the ultimate tailgating experience. All right, Tucker's tape during the season. Ross goes back and looks at his takeaways from the previous game and what they mean going forward. We're going to look back at Penn State's 17-12 victory over the Iowa Hawkeyes at Kinnick Stadium. Ross, what did you see and what stood out to you, sir?
So I guess this is to be expected with a young team. And I think overall, I don't know that we thought that they would lose any of these games coming into the season. But I think I thought it was a possibility that they could lose to Pitt. And I definitely thought it was a possibility that they could lose to Iowa. I said last week I thought they were going to lose the game.
Yeah, you picked Iowa.
I picked Iowa. So I was wrong about that. So I guess it's to be expected that they took turns making silly mistakes on offense early in the game. Young team, first-year starter, quarterback, on the road at Iowa. By the way, just watching the game, I can't believe how close the fans are.
I know. It is almost ridiculous.
How often do guys like trying to catch a pass out of bounds run into the wall? I mean, it is really, really tight and close. Go ahead, Bob.
No, I was just going to say there's literally about a 3-foot gap between, you know, the player benches and the stands. And, you know, I don't think there's ever been an issue at Iowa, but if ever there was going to be a potential issue at a major college football event with the fan interference, it would probably be there. But it's just not like that. They're a hearty bunch that just really enjoys football. They have the children's hospital moment, and it's not an issue, but they are literally, you know, they could literally reach out and touch the visiting players if they wanted to. They just don't.
And just as an aside, now that you say that, you know why, one of the reasons why I love that Penn State won that game? Because I heard roughly 573 times that James Franklin had never beaten a ranked team on the road.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like SportsCenter guy, College Game Day guy, the guy before on SportsCenter before college, James Franklin's never won a game. Well, how about pointing out he's never lost to Iowa? Or was it five straight or never?
Yeah, he's never lost to Iowa.
Yeah. Like, so I can't stand crutches like that. I think maybe that's why Franklin was so fired up, because he knew they couldn't say that. But you know, next thing will happen when they play Ohio State, it'll be he's 1-5 against
the 3-12 numbers
teams
coming up. Yeah,
yeah, that's
what's
coming
up. The 3-12 against Michigan, Michigan State, and Ohio State.
Right.
That's
more fair, yeah. I think. So anyway, I love when he gets rid of those. So early on, it was just silly mistakes. I mean, Clifford missed some throws he shouldn't miss. The drop snap. I mean, that not good. Hamler had a drop that was key. I mean, they were
scratchy.
I can say this. I think they were kind of pissing down their leg a little bit. Like, that's the expression that you use. And why is that relevant moving forward? Because they can't do that against Michigan. I know it's a home game, but it's still a huge stage, game day, whiteout. You can't afford to make those mistakes against a better team. You can't, like, you don't get a first quarter mulligan against Ohio State at the Shoe. So they need to do whatever it is. They need to get better at that. I would say in general, especially in the first half, but in general, this is the best their defensive backs have tackled since Franklin's been there. I mean, John, you look at it, it's crazy. Lamont Wade led him with 7 tackles, 5 solo.
He had 11 last week.
And guess what? He's doing an excellent job.
He's a
physical
dude.
Yes.
Yeah. He's very physical.
He reminds me of like Bob Sanders.
Yeah.
He's not quite as explosive, but it's a good thing he didn't leave in the transfer portal. He's playing the right position.
Give them credit for moving him, too.
Yes, he's playing the right position. That is what he is. And I think his experience as a running back, he just has a good feel for it. He is an awesome tackler. Garrett Taylor had 6 solo tackles. He made a couple. You know, early in the game, some of those passes to wide receivers, they were getting nothing. Now, I don't think Iowa has the most explosive, like, run after catch guys in the world. I don't see my glasses aren't working. I don't see KJ Hamler over there for Iowa.
Yeah, but still,
they were able to do a great job making tackles. That really bodes well against Michigan, against Minnesota, against Ohio State. If their DBs, because that's the difference between 7 yards or 11 yards and like 30, 40, 50 in touchdowns. Mm-hmm. That's a huge reason why their scoring defense is so good. Their defensive backs are like knockdown tacklers. It's really noticeable. And really, I mean, 3 of their top 4 or 4 of their top 5 tacklers in this game, all defensive backs. Now, part of that is Iowa couldn't run, so they threw the ball a ton. And so when they're catching the ball, it's going to be a DB that tackles them. But they were tackling them. It was good. I thought, for the most part, that the pass protection was pretty darn good against a good Iowa front. You know, Clifford.
Those two DNs for Iowa are good.
Yeah. And it was the guy opposite Epinesa that made a bunch of plays.
Chauncey Golston, good player.
They got a very good defensive line. But I thought it felt like most of the time Clifford had decent time to throw.
Yeah, and I've noticed in the Tuesday news conferences they give their offensive players of the week. I think it's either 2 or 3 times they've given it to Mennett. And I just, Ross, can you kind of speak to, you're talking about the offensive line, we talked about Rashid, we talked about some other players, but it seems like Mennett has really, really taken the next step as an athletic center. James also praised him for, like, getting them accurate information early in games. He's the one guy they can look to when they're trying to adjust. He can immediately recognize something, and he said he's been a big help.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of that is just second year as a starter. You know what I mean? Like, at any level I ever played at, 11th grade I was so much better than 10th grade, like night and day. Sophomore year versus freshman year of college, second year in the NFL versus first year in the NFL. And I think second year as a starter for him versus first year. And the communication is especially important on the road when it's that loud. And it didn't seem like they had a lot of busts or mental errors. I mean, Iowa had more mental errors. You know, I'll get to Mustafer, who did a great job, but like Mustafer's tackle for loss, the right guard went the wrong way. The right guard went the wrong way, literally. Like, so it's so funny too, because people are like, oh, what a great play. That's not a great play. You have to make that play.
We're coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. We're in quarter number 2. This is Tucker's Tape, and Ross is giving you his takeaways from the Iowa game and what they mean going forward. Back to you, sir.
By the way, that's the worst interior offensive line Iowa's had in a long time.
And then before the game, they announced one of their starters couldn't go, and they had to go to a backup. And I think
it was right guard.
It made a rough situation even worse. And I think as you saw, Robert Windsor turned into Tarzan in that game, and some of those plays he made, it was just a physical annihilation.
I thought the defensive tackle play was really good, and how many years have we talked about they need better defensive tackle play?
Yeah.
I mean, that's all that is, I think, arguably the most important position in college football. And there's just not that many guys out there. But Windsor and Mustafer, Shelton's a fine player, but Windsor and Mustafer, like, can be difference makers.
They're flashing.
Yeah, they're like 300 pounds and they move well.
Yep.
What do I know? I thought Windsor was going to get moved to offense by this point. So his high school video, you just don't see. Well, you know. So I'm impressed by Windsor. So that was a huge, huge part of it. So you talk about like Ohio State and these other games, D tackle play and DBs tackling. We know about the linebackers and DNs. If they can get good D tackle play and the DBs can tackle and not get beat over the top, that really bodes well. We talked about it. The Freiermuth overturn was horrendous.
It was just
but
awful.
I'll also say this. Fries and Gonzalez cannot hold in those situations. Like, in both situations, the guy they held was not going to make the tackle. And honestly, I thought they were both fine calls. I'm trying to remember. The fries was a blatant hold.
His was obvious.
Blatant hold. And by the way, was that who scored to the right? Who scored to the left? Fries was to the right. Who was? Was it running back?
Was Clifford it was to the left?
Okay. Who was it? Noah Kane to the right, or somebody else to the right on the?
No,
on the
it was touch- the second down play where they tried to do that little pop pass thing.
Yes.
And it was the play looked like a train wreck as soon because yeah. it was supposed to be the pop.
No. The hold on Fries was on a touchdown.
Yeah, I don't. I'm
trying to remember who it was.
I don't know if that was Kane or Journey Brown.
You one of them. Yeah. It might have been Journey Brown, but like. My point is, they're fourth and fifth year guys. You got to be smarter. Like, you cannot. That'll get you beat. It did. It cost them points because they didn't get a touchdown on that drive.
Yep.
If you're the edge guy, and in both cases they were the last guy on the edge, you just can't do that. The odds that guy is going to throw you off of him and make the tackle is very small. When you get out there in space, let him go. Just even put your hand, just keep running your body, but don't hold on to him like that. So that's a takeaway moving forward. We mentioned Gillikin. He was gigantic in the game. You know, one thing we didn't mention, Justin Shorter. He only made one, I think we have one catch.
Yeah.
But that was sweet. He looked like an NFL receiver on that one play. He ran a good route. He laid out his hand. I was like, whoa.
They need to throw him the ball more often.
It's just I don't want to use the word frustrating, but you see what he's capable of, and you look at him, and you're wondering, you know, I know he's been a little bit banged up, but when's it gonna turn over? When's he gonna arrive?
Yeah. I think they just need to throw it to him more. Yeah. I mean, that was a beautiful thing. Clifford's running really helps. I mean, if you want to talk about differences in the game, turnovers were a big difference, but Clifford can run, and Stanley couldn't. And that is a huge difference. I do college games every Saturday, and talking with the defensive coordinators, they go on and on about the quarterback run game and about how it's the great equalizer. Bowling Green was 27.5-point underdogs last Saturday, and they beat Toledo because they just came out and they ran the quarterback. It was a rivalry, and they're like, screw it. We're running the quarterback.
Right.
The last thing I'll say, Noah Kane.
Second week in a row.
I love this guy. And I'll tell you why. He always falls forward. In my mind, I probably would only have Slade in passing downs now and maybe throw him the ball. But the problem is Noah Kane's good at that too.
Yeah.
And Devin Ford's good at that too. I still think Devin Ford, like they have a nasty 1-2 combo for the next 3 years. I would probably in order go Kane, Ford, Brown, Slade in terms of touches right now.
All right, that's it for quarter number two from the Labatt Blue Studio. Stick around. Your questions, his answers. Ask Ross is next.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh, yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Because it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Hey, it's Ross Tucker, former NFL player and now host on the Keystone Sports Network, telling you about GoPSURV.com. I had an unbelievable experience for the Wisconsin game with my wife. My father-in-law came up. We had an absolute blast tailgating at GoPSURV.com. If you don't know about it or you haven't checked it out yet, you need to do so immediately. Call Mark at 1-800-519-8467 or go to GoPSURV.com.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.